you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? Ralph Sutton, the SDR show. We got a great show this week. Brittany Ferland, you may know her as Brittany Lee, Tommy Lee's wife. She was the number one chick on Vine, and now she's blowing up on TikTok. It's just a very cool chick. I actually really enjoyed having her on the show. Don't forget, we do the show live every single Wednesday, every single Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern time. Big announcement, though. The SDR show is going to be at Skankfest South, which is in Houston, Texas, November 5th through the 7th. The lineup this year is fucking ridiculous. Bob Saget, Doug Stanhope, Gilbert Godfrey, Tim Dillon, Ari Shaffir, Shane Gillis, Jessica Kirsten, Todd Glass, Dan Soder, Mark Norman, Robert Kelly, of course, Legion of Skanks. SDR show is going to be there live. 150 performers, podcasts, shows. If you remember last Skankfest, we had a penis contest on SDR. And remember, it was just some crazy fucking thing. We try to do something ridiculous every single Skankfest. Tickets will be going on sale Monday, July 12th at 8 a.m. at skankfest.net, and that's Eastern time. So July 12th, 8 a.m. Eastern time at skankfest.net. And remember, it is November 5th through the 7th in Houston, Texas. Really thrilled that we're going to be a part of it again, and it's going to be a crazy, crazy weekend. But here it is right now. It is the Brittany Ferland Lee episode of The SDR Show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is a hit show. Show me a tit show. Please, someone walk the hole. It's beat, our beat. It's hookers and blow. It's art, you need to know. The SDR Show. Let's go.
It is The SDR Show, sex, drugs, and rock and roll show. I am Ralph Sutton. Back with me for the first time in a bit. It is Dave Landau. How are you, sir?
I'm good, man. How about you?
Good. Where are you these days? I forget what state, city, whatever the hell you are. Where are you?
I'm in Texas.
What part?
Not too far from Austin.
Oh, you know, I'm going to be there on Friday for Big J's comedy recording, so why don't you fucking come out and don't be a puss?
I will be on vacation for a Memorial Day. Where's your recording at?
At the Stand in... The Creek in the Cave.
Oh, the Creek in the Cave. Yeah. The new one. I forgot that she reopened one down there. Yeah.
Pretty cool. And Shannon is back with us. And Shannon, I will say this. I hate giving you compliments, but you look pretty good tonight. I don't know. You look somewhat attractive. It's weird.
I think you're just saying that because you're working me to the bone this week, so you have to be nice to me.
I really did give you a lot of shit this week. Okay, so right now, very excited. I'm going to tell the truth about this. Excited to talk to this woman, actress, host of the podcast Worst First, and formerly the number one chick on Vine. Can you say chick? Is that offensive? I don't know. But which is crazy. Number one on Vine. I watched a bunch of her stuff. And I'm going to be honest with you. It is Brittany Ferland. Do you go with the Lee or you don't go with the Lee?
I mean, it's fine. It can be Brittany Ferland Lee. I didn't change it. I just left it because it's just too stressful.
Right. So you are, you're going with the hyphen like on legal documents or you're not?
No, I'm just... It doesn't matter. I mean, I know I'm married, so it's fine.
That's fine. Good enough. So I get excited when this kind of thing happens. I didn't know much about you. I'm too old for Vine. I never checked that out. I just had a cursory knowledge of you. Shannon knew your podcast. So I just started doing what I do as a somewhat respectable broadcaster, I like to think. Did some research. Wasn't sure how I was going to feel about you. But the more I researched, the more I thought you're a cool chick. So kudos to you.
Well, thanks. That's great. I'm so glad I got the A+ in your book. I appreciate that.
You got my stamp of approval. That's
all I live for.
Yeah, you should. You should feel that way. So right off the top, in my research, you just moved to a new house, right? And you posted something. We're not going to go too deep into this because Shannon hosts a podcast that's about ghosts and stuff, so I don't want to take the stories away from potentially being guest on
what's funny
show.
Is that I think Brittany's show is a combination of this show and my show together.
That's funny.
I love that.
Yeah, I would say it's probably true, but I just saw this video that you posted with your hubby about a garbage can that opened on its own, and every time you called out the former resident's name, who happened to also be Tom.
If there's a spirit here, open the trash can.
Oh my God, of course, because I'm filming, it doesn't do it.
Of course.
Okay, by the way, guys, it just did it when I said, if there's a spirit here, open the trash can. And it opened.
And it fucking opened.
Twice.
Next to the John Lennon lyrics.
And you can't open this trash can, like, unless you literally are, like, okay, look. So here's, I'm going to zoom out so you can see my hand. Doesn't open unless you. Oh. Mom, if you're here, open the trash can.
What is happening?
Oh my God.
The reason why it doesn't, you know, resonate with me, besides that I'm an analytical jackass that doesn't believe in ghosts, but because it was an automatic garbage can. If it was a manual garbage can, I'd be like, holy shit, someone's stepping on that thing and opening it. It could be anything. Someone's hitting a button. I don't trust you guys. I don't know you guys that well. And maybe something, there was a fly that went by there. I don't know. How much more did it happen while you were filming that?
A fly named Tom, Ralph.
Okay, so this is so weird that, okay, when I first walked into, okay, so we're actually living in the house that I bought because our house that we bought in Brentwood is being built. So I was like, oh, well, in the meantime, I'll buy a property and it'll be an investment property. I'm going to work on it. And my husband's like, okay, I'll help you. We're going to live there until our house is finished. And so we do a tour of this property and I walk in and I get like a weird feeling. And I have the text messages from my realtor. And I said to him later, I said, did someone pass away?
Nicole Simpson.
Huh?
Nicole Simpson.
Dead.
Brentwood.
So, no, this other house isn't in Brentwood. So,
So
I'm in the house that I bought. And so I said, did someone pass away in this house? And he goes, let me ask the owner. And he comes back to me and goes, no. And I'm like, okay. So we literally move in and these two older ladies who live across the street come up, they bring us a bottle of Prosecco and they're like, we're so glad you're here. The last neighbors were lovely. We loved them. We're so sad they're gone. And I said,
somebody
well, what
finally
happened?
Bought the Masker house.
Yeah. Yeah. We missed them after the double murder.
That's not it. But anyway, so I said to them, I said, what happened? And she says, oh, well, the guy who lived here with his wife named Tom was a lovely man. He died of a heart attack right there in the front room. And she points to our front room. Mm-hmm. And he was DOA when the emergency services got here. So that means dead on arrival. And so I was like, oh, my God. So it gets even crazier than that. So then I
ask a question there. Yeah. Can't you sue your real estate agent for not disclosing that information?
Only if it's within 3 years. Tom died actually 11 years ago and his wife lived here several years after him. So
the ghost statute of limitations. Most ghosts only haunt for up to 3 years.
And depending on states, you don't even have to disclose the information.
Exactly. And so I was kind of taken aback, but they said, like, I asked them, I said, you know, how was he? And they were like, he was insanely pleasant and just so lovely. And so don't worry about it, you know, whatever. Right. So then I started getting weird feelings. Like the first night before we even were told this and we were like sleeping, my husband woke me up and he goes, did you hear that? And I was like, what? And he's like, I just heard someone yell, hey. And I was like, no, I didn't hear anything. And he's like, oh, that's weird. And then the trash can. So this is the thing with the trash can. It's an automatic trash can. Yes. And it does open when you say open trash can. But as you can see on the video, I asked the trash can to open several times and it only opened when I said, Tom, open the trash can. So I said, open the trash can, open the trash can, open the trash can. You can hear me in the video just as loud as day. And when I said, Tom, open the trash can, open. Not only that, this trash can, I just put new batteries in it because some people were like, oh, because we just moved. So I just got it. I just put new batteries in it. Some people were like, oh, sometimes it just opens finicky when it's dying. Well, no, because I just put new batteries in it. And during the day, sometimes it'll just, no one will be near it. Nothing will be near it. And it'll just open out of nowhere during the day.
It's so that's cool that your ghost, Tom, is just a bitchy OCD ghost. Like, clean your house.
No, I'm so clean.
He's a grouch.
Okay, so guys, it gets so much more gnarly than this, and I don't know if you want to hear the rest of this.
I do.
I mean, I kind of do, but I feel bad because this could be a Shannon story, but
no,
go ahead.
No, I like it.
I like it. Too. I like it as well.
Okay, so I keep going?
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay, so then I start posting about Tom on my Instagram page, as you guys saw. Mm-hmm. And I start posting pictures of him on my story. And then a bunch of people start reaching out to me and going, how do you know my dad? How do you know my dad?
Christ. Wait, a bunch of people?
Yes, several people. And three of them were his stepchildren, or two of them, sorry, were his stepchildren, and two of them were his biological children.
Wow.
So he actually lived in this house with his stepchildren, which was his stepson and his stepdaughter. So his stepdaughter writes to me and goes, how do you know my dad? And I said, oh, she goes, he was my stepdad. She sends me all these pictures of them. And I said, oh, I just bought your old house and like we fixed it up. And she's like, run.
No.
And I was like, what do you mean? And she goes, that house is demonic. My stepdad hated that house. It's on an Indian burial ground. I was possessed in that house. There's demons in the back rooms. She's like, my brother and I both suffered with severe drug problems when we were in that house and only got better every time we left. She's like, we had nothing but pain and heartache in that house. It's bad energy. For the sake of your family, leave. She's like, we had an exorcist come. Like, we
wow, this really sounds like the plot of Poltergeist. Like,
no, it's crazy. And so she starts going off.
It is the plot of Poltergeist, yeah.
I have these messages from her, and I'm sitting there going, like, I'm pretty sensitive to energy. I've always been very sensitive to it, and I don't feel anything bad here. Like, I really don't. And I know sometimes the energy can actually be with the person and not mm-hmm. the place. And so I'm not trying to say that about her, but like, honestly, I don't have any bad energy. Nothing bad has happened. I don't see shadows.
Could it possibly be though that if she knows that her dad's ghost is kind of in that house, she wants you out so she can have the house?
No, because they had to leave the house because, like, I guess, like, they couldn't afford it or something anymore. So they had to leave. But then she goes and tells me that her mom sprinkled the dad's ashes all over the property.
Jesus
so that,
Christ.
And she's
on top of the Indians.
On top of the Indians. And their dead and then I find their dead dogs are buried here, too.
Oh,
so
Jesus
I found,
Christ.
Like, the dog markers. But honestly, like, if I'm completely honest, I'm not freaked out because I'm, like, very into kind of, like, macabre things. But not only that, it takes a lot to freak me out. My husband's obviously a very dark person, so that doesn't freak him out.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're married to Tommy Lee. I take your word on it, yeah.
He's, like, Satan himself. Just kidding. I mean, like, in a good way. But, I mean, you know, he's a dark guy. And so, you know, to us, it's kind of just, like, nothing. And I don't feel that energy, but also she said her mom sprinkled the ashes around the house and said, asked her stepdad to protect the house. So,
wow. And maybe the dad just hated the stepchildren and that's why he was an asshole when he passed.
That's true.
It's very possible.
I hope
possible.
Not. I hope
like those damn kids always ask me for money. I'll show them. I'll turn them into drug addicts once they go to the nether regions. Never
but
know.
But she literally told me like, run for the sake of your
that's
family.
Crazy.
Like,
that's crazy.
It's
that's
really
wild.
Weird.
I'm such an analytical prick. I mean, I do it to understand that there's energies that we don't understand, that there's connectivity to the universe that we will not understand. I just don't like when it gets quantified that, oh, it's this or that, because there's no way to fucking know.
No.
That's the way I look at it.
I've just had so many weird, and I know it's just like a feeling thing, and I don't know, Shannon, if you are kind of this way too, but it's like you kind of just get like a feeling and it's so strong. And like I had that feeling when I walked into the house and I knew someone died here and I didn't care. As soon as my realtor told me no, I was kind of like, that doesn't make sense. And then when my neighbors told me that they did, it's just energy. Everything is energy. You can't, you know, whether you're a physicist or not, you can't disagree that we are made of energy.
Yeah, and
everything.
Also, you can't disagree. The part I will say, like, sometimes you go into a room and you just know, oh, something bad, like somebody just got angry with someone, or you walk in a room and like, man, this feels like a fun place to be right now. And it's not like you interacted with anyone, you just feel something. And that's where I agree. And maybe some people are more in tune to it than others. I don't know. I do another show on health and wellness, and I just get very agitated when people try to market themselves as like healers or fixers or things like that, where although there's been substantial proof that placebos can have incredibly positive effects, it just starts to bother me when I feel charlatans are taking advantage of people that are in a bad situation.
Absolutely. And there's so many people that do that.
Yeah, that's like, I mean, you both, Dave and you, openly talk about mental health and your struggles with that, and so that's why those things start to bother me, because only recently has it become okay, especially for men, to talk about mental issues? So mm-hmm. it bothers me when I see people that feel like, oh man, this guy's a fucking snake oil salesman all day long, and it really bothers me.
I think once you deal in mental health enough, though, and addiction and everything, you kind of start realizing who's who pretty quickly. You know?
I don't agree with you. I don't know. I know. So like, I don't know. I disagree. Like my
grandpa, you could, but it depends on how far you're into it.
My grandfather gave his money away to talk to my grandmother because when she died, and my philosophy was it made him feel good. So maybe there's some help, but I just felt like, man, he charged him, you know, a fortune. And he did it, but I don't know. I just get annoyed with shit like that. I don't mean to get off topic here, but there we go.
No, that's totally on topic. And I believe, like, I mean, honestly, I don't know if, like I said, I totally believe in spirits. I totally believe in the spirit world. But all I think it is the energy still lingering. I don't think it's like, oh, I'm an actual, you know, physical ghost. I just believe that our energy becomes freeform when we leave our body. It just becomes, you know, has no form, but it's still us. It's just not,
I mean,
you know.
Think of every time you didn't trust your gut and how it turned out. And every time I ignore my gut, it always turns out bad. I mean, I think that's, I don't know if that's not a psychic thing. That's just over time, you just learn that your feelings are fairly accurate. Yeah. And I'm with you. I just, the problem is, yes, when religion and other people come in and that starts being involved and it's give me money and you're going to get something, you're going to get the gift of eternal life and all this other. I think whatever is beyond us is not anything that we are supposed to understand.
I'm going to give you guys a great book recommendation. He was a guest on my other show. It's called Chatter, and it's all about understanding your inner voice and trying to silence the negative and influence and you know, focus on the positive stuff. Anyway, all right, before we go any further, you know these guys. They not only sponsor Skankfest, they sponsor this show, they sponsor all of Gas Digital. Just super cool dudes. We're talking about Yo Kratom. And if you know Yo Kratom, you know they're the home of the $60 kilo. The best value in Kratom shipped directly to your door, no questions asked. And if you've never heard of Kratom before, this is probably not the right ad for you. But if you're like Shannon, who loves her Kratom, then go to YoKratom.com. It is wholesale prices, $60 kilos, which literally is a third of the price of some of the prices I've seen at like the local bodega and shit. And it is good, high quality, tons of strains. You will find the one you're looking for at YoKratom.com. And not only that, they are sponsoring this whole network. They're sponsoring Skankfest. So why don't you take care of the people that take care of us and get what's going on in the world of comedy. Again, it's YoKratom, YoKratom.com, and get yourself a $60 kilo. All right, let's get back into it. One of the things I found fascinating about you, which kudos to you, I don't know where your upbringing was that made you do this, but when you were on Vine, you're making crazy money. You're the hottest thing on Vine. I don't know how many millions of people were following you, but I read you said that you were making thousands per 6-second video at one point. And a lot of idiots were buying Lamborghinis and getting cars and houses and shit. And you, like you just said, you're buying a house. You saved all your money. Where did that come from? Did you come from nothing? Like, did someone instill the value to you to do that where everyone else is buying stupid? Every time I see that on TikTok now where people are buying Lamborghinis, like, oh, that kid's going to be fucked in a year.
No, it's so funny because I just have always been a kind of a saver. I only spend money on things that I think are, you know, completely necessary. Like, for instance, I set goals for myself. Like I was like, oh, I want to buy a Mercedes. I also hate owing money. So I have one credit card. I never use it. I only use my debit card because I'm like, why am I going to spend money I don't have and put interest and all that shit? So my whole thing in life is just always have hated owing people, hated just thinking I had something lingering over my head. So I was like, okay, first goal, save enough money to buy out a brand new Mercedes, completely buy out, have no payments. That's it. Did that. Next goal, buy a house. I don't want to have payments, save all my money and that kind of thing. And in the meantime, I was watching my idiot friends and I love them to death, but some of them are idiots because they were like, oh, I'm going to rent a house for $15,000 a month. And then they did that for a year. And the brand jobs start, you know, washing up. And then all of a sudden they're broke and got to move home with their parents because they just threw money away. And I was like, guys, you were just you're paying rent. That's like literally lighting money on fire. You know, why didn't you just save your money, stay in a like smaller apartment for a while, save your money till you could buy a house, then you own it. And then that money never goes away.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Did you come from a poorer background, or did you come from money? I'm just curious.
Not poor. My parents were like very middle class. My dad worked for the government. My mom was a nurse. So no, not like poor, but definitely like it's weird. As I got older, I realized that, you know, a lot of people did a lot more stuff when they were younger. Like, for instance, I spent every summer at the Jersey Shore. We never took like extravagant vacations. We never went. We maybe went to Florida one time. But like, you know, every summer was a week at the Jersey Shore. That was our vacation. Like we never went to, you know, some kids went to France. Some kids went to Bali. Some kids went to, you know, wherever, somewhere fancy. And my parents never really did that. We were all just always kind of just like, whatever.
Yeah, we went to Atlantic City. I can
Atlantic
relate.
City. I went
yeah,
there
it's
too.
The
yes.
very, yeah,
Seattle
it's
City,
it's the,
Avalon.
It's as middle class as you can, because it's not middle poor. It's not, you know, upper. It's that's like the middle class vacation. Yeah,
totally.
Every year. Yeah.
Wildwood. Like we were like the Wildwood family. I mean, it was like that was it. And that was rad. Like I was totally fine with that. I never felt like for wanting anything. I never was like, I'm struggling. Like I need this. My dad and mom always managed to. You know, or my dad mostly managed to always get us like what we wanted. So
I came from a privileged background, which we've established on the show many times. But my parents got divorced when I was 4, and my dad had money, but he was agoraphobic, so he barely traveled. We only went to Florida or New York because he didn't want, or the Hamptons. He had a house in the Hamptons, and you know that stuff. But he could have traveled the world. He just didn't like to travel, so he basically stayed to the places he was comfortable going.
Did you guys live with your dad too? Like I was raised by my dad.
I would be, it was Monday through Friday with my mom and every weekend with my dad for my entire, like from when I was 4 to I was 20, you know, that was basically what we did every weekend. And my father passed away about 5 years ago, but you know, I'm fortunate. I got to experience a lot through him, but you know, it was pretty wild to see. So you, I don't know why this happened, but well, let's go back to the beginning. You moved out to LA. You started acting and you got into comedy, right? Mm-hmm. And you were doing comedy. And I don't know if I doubt you're going to say the person, but yeah. I just have a question. So you started dating a comic and you were doing better than him. So he said to you, hey, one of us has got to stop doing comedy here. And you being the sympathetic girlfriend said, I'll quit. You become a better comedian and I'll not be a comic anymore. Is that essentially correct?
That's pretty much how it went, because we used to go to open mics together. I mean, I used to go to open mics with like people who are huge now, like Gerard Carmichael, like, you know, just huge people, like people that have their own shows, Tiffany Haddish, like people who were starting around the same time. And we would all go to open mics. And when you're dating a comic, it becomes, you know, unless they're really cool, which he was cool, but like, you know, it's competitive. And you know, if you do well all the time and then they eat shit like 90% of the time, you're like, it's just makes for tension in the relationship, because you feel so shitty when you get off stage and you eat a hot shit sandwich, as opposed to like when you do really well. So then like the energy is not balanced, because I'm like, woohoo, on cloud nine, like I fucking killed it. And then they're like, you know, fuck you. Like I had the worst night ever. Like their energy didn't match. And so he was like, I can't really do this anymore. And either you quit doing that or we're going to break up. And so I was like, okay, fine. Like, I'm so submissive and just want like someone to love me all the time. So I'm just like,
no wonder Tommy's so in love, huh?
Huh? No wonder Tommy's so in love. Yeah, for real. I'm like,
it does sound like a good selfless LA comic, though, the way you're describing it.
Yeah, anything you want, please don't leave me. And so I was like, I'll figure out another way. And so I was too poor for like Groundlings and Second City to like pay for like classes, because I was so poor. And so I just started like meeting people who did improv and like started filming videos with them. And then I ended up breaking up with the comic anyway, because he had a drug problem. I'm not going to go into who it was or whatever.
Well, my question about him, though, did he stay in comedy or he didn't stay in comedy?
He did. He's actually still in comedy. Yeah.
Oh,
he's
wow.
Pretty,
okay.
Pretty successful now.
It's all right. The drug problem didn't narrow it down at all.
And we're very cool. No, it was so funny, because like I dealt with the drug problem for so long, and then eventually I was just kind of like, this is just not hot. And like, you know, it was pills. And so it was kind of like when someone's doing painkillers all the time, they're like, shit doesn't work. They're sweaty. They're breaking out. And like, you know, he's talked about it, so it's like whatever. But so I ended up breaking up with him, started dating another guy. And this guy bought me my first iPhone. Because I had a BlackBerry. And so it's so weird how life works and so serendipitous that like right when he bought me that iPhone and I was like, I don't really want an iPhone. He's like, no, trust me, you need this. That's when Vine came out, and Vine was only available on iPhone. It wasn't available on Android yet. And so I downloaded it and I started making videos, and then that's what changed my life. That's and that crazy. Set the trajectory of my whole life. Like I wouldn't have met Tommy because Tommy followed me on Vine. That's how Tommy knew
me. Oh, really? I thought, yes. I thought you met on Raya.
We did, but he only knew me on Raya because he had followed me on Vine.
Oh.
He would have never like clicked on me because he wouldn't have known who I was. He's like, there were so many girls on there who I didn't know who the fuck they were, but I recognized you. And he's like, and I always thought you were funny. And he likes funny people, you right. know, because who doesn't like love to laugh? I mean, let's right. be honest.
I have a quote from you. It says, everyone likes to laugh and I've got nice titties. So I get it.
I feel the same about me.
And so Vine takes off for you. And then the world is after you. Once you're a hot property on Vine, all these like agents and stuff are reaching out to you to become an actress and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And you sign with somebody, but they kind of like shit the bed with you, so to speak.
I signed with ICM, and it was like my fault because I didn't take the meetings with the other places because I was just so excited and nervous. And so I just signed with the first people who wanted to sign me because I didn't want to like lose the opportunity. And I was just really dumb and naive. And the guy who I signed with at the time was a junior agent and just like really didn't have enough, mm-hmm. you know, hands in the game to kind of really do what he needed to do with me. And it's just so interesting to see like my other friends, like King Batch, Logan Paul, Liza Koshy, Amanda Cerny, all the other people that were big on Vine now have like 20 million or more followers on Instagram. They're doing TV shows, Lele Pons, like they are huge because they all signed with like the right people. And then there's like me who just like,
you know, it's funny that a girl I know, she mentioned those Lele Pons and Liza Koshy. I have no fucking idea who they are, but when
you sound like Tommy, Tommy's yeah, like, I don't fucking, yeah, fuck I'm those old. People. He's like, I know who you are. I don't know who the fuck they are. Like, yeah. It's so funny. But
there's a girl that I'm dating that I wouldn't say dating, but hang out with, that's definitely too young for me. But Tommy and you, you know, not that much different. But she's the one that said, you know, ask her about those two. And because she knows you very well.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, she started with before Logan Paul and she knew these ones. And I had to look every one of those people up. I don't fucking know.
Logan Paul used to like ask me to do Vine. Like he used to be like, can I please be in your video? Like him and Jake. I met them when they were 18. They just came to LA. They were like so fresh faced, like little babies. Like it's so funny. I remember I actually like it was a, Logan had got over to our mutual friend's house. And it was my first time meeting him. And I knew he was young. He was like, he had literally like just turned 18. And I wanted to like shock him. And so I just flashed him as soon as I met him. And he was like,
and now he's about to get his ass kicked by Floyd Mayweather.
Very soon, yeah.
You know, fight Mayweather. And
he's going to have brain damage for the rest of his life, so at least he's going to forget about your titties.
It's just so crazy.
Or it's going to be the two things he remembers.
Yeah, that's all he remembers, Brittany Ferland's titties.
Yeah, that and being punched by Floyd.
You know, it's just so weird how things work out and how things change. And you're just like, I mean, look at like Shawn Mendes. Shawn Mendes was on Vine, and now he's like, Shawn Mendes. And like
I didn't even know that. That's crazy.
I didn't know that either. Yeah.
I never, as much as I just embrace TikTok reluctantly, because I am, I'm 51, right?
Okay.
So I had a Friendster page, then a then a MySpace page, then reluctantly got on Facebook, then reluctantly got on Instagram. I never did Snapchat, never did Vine, but TikTok, I finally said, fine, fuck it, I'll join TikTok. But you said in an interview, which I disagree with, that you think people are much nicer on TikTok.
Oh, my God.
And I disagree.
So much nicer.
I disagree.
Well, why? Until recently, some girl tried to cancel me on there because of my old videos. But
well, that's what I think. I think they are. It's you.
Seriously, from your Vine videos?
Yeah, because your Vine videos are still back up. You're still up.
It's, you know, it's from 7 or more years ago that I did these videos. And I was really ignorant then. And I was doing these videos where, like, I had a character named Patel from India. And I would, like, put a dot on my head and talk with an Indian accent. And it was, like, for me, I was like, oh, it's like a costume. I didn't think of it as, and I wasn't trying to make fun of being Indian. I was just trying to be Indian looking and be this character, kind of like this over-exaggerated version of being Indian. And people took really big offense to that. I had another character who was like a gardener, who was like a Mexican guy. And like, it was just like a lot of stuff that today, woke
how culture, inaccurate.
Dude, woke culture is like, fuck you.
Worst.
Those videos. And like, I feel so bad because it sucks because like when I was doing it, I wasn't in my head going, I'm going to hurt these people's feelings. I'm going to be offensive. I'm going to be this. I'm going to be that.
Well, that's why I do all my characters is for that reason.
And so I literally was just like really heartbroken because everyone was calling me racist. And I'm like, fuck, I don't have a racist bone in my body. I was just trying to make like, I was just trying to be a character. Just like if I was trying to be a unicorn, I would dress as a unicorn. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. it wasn't like to hurt anyone, but I get it because I was using, you know, offensive stereotypes and whatnot. And so I, you know, I got attacked for it and it gets brought up all the time. Like I lost out on a huge Facebook job. Like Facebook was going to have me do a show with them. And then someone on their like comms team was like, oh, we find some of your old videos really bad. And so we can't work with you. And it was just
so
like,
crazy,
awful. And it sucks because it's like, when do I get to move on from that? It was, you know, I've apologized for it so many times. I feel awful. My heart was in a bad place. I feel so terrible. I'm like, fuck, I hate that I hurt anyone's feelings with it.
So I don't think you did, though. I don't think you did hurt anybody's feelings.
No, you hurt
the problem with woke culture is they're digging up, they're holding you to a standard of today that they supposedly have always lived by. It didn't exist then. Right. You weren't doing anything to hurt anybody then.
Yeah, like Landau, he wears blackface now, which is weird. Well, but he did in the 60s, it was more commonplace.
It would have been completely normal back then. But now I just do it to hurt others.
It is sad.
Like, and I don't know how to say this to people, but it was just a different time.
Yeah. You know? And it's funny because like, were you actually canceled on Vine? Is that right?
I wasn't canceled on Vine, but I think that eventually a bunch of really young kids got on there and they just are like young kids would get on there who were like 7. You would like go to their profile and they'd literally be like 7 years old and they just say things like suck my dick. And you're like, whoa, you're like a 7 year old. It just got really toxic.
Yeah. Well, that doggy's cute, by the way.
That is an adorable dog. Yeah.
And by the way, my side joke was, you're 7 years old. I haven't sucked a 7 year old's dick in at least a year.
So I just was like, I don't really need to get cursed out by like 7 year olds. Like this is just obviously not the place for me anymore. And so I just stopped making videos. And then once I stopped making videos, then other people stopped making videos. And then the whole platform just collapsed because it was really only surviving on its top creators.
Right. It was like, they say that Twitter is 90% of the content comes from 10% of the people, right? Where Instagram, it's almost like a 50-50, like almost everything's coming from everybody. Vine was worse. Vine was like 97% of the content was from 3% of the people. It's crazy how that's why it wasn't a sustainable model at all.
It wasn't. And also the company Vine, you know, they had so much money and they didn't take care of their creators. They actually like would keep you from, you know, for instance, I worked with so many brands on Vine. And I knew, you know, obviously how to manage my page. I'm not going to make every video an ad. You know, you do a couple regular videos and an ad here or there, whatever. But when you would do an ad, they would purposely kind of like blacklist you so that not as many people would see your video. And then the ad company that paid you to do it would be like, why didn't this get as many views as your other videos? Even if it was just as funny, you know? So
TikTok does that also. TikTok definitely does that.
You know, but TikTok, this is where I like TikTok better. So TikTok actually pays you. If you're in the creator fund, you get paid by TikTok to create videos, which I think is awesome. You can also get brand deals directly through TikTok. So brands message you directly on TikTok. I haven't taken any of the deals yet because I'm like, I just don't want to do that right now. But and they haven't really been that great. But I just they do come through and you can.
I mean, just want to say, I joined last week and I'm not really sure what to do with my 12 followers. I'll try and figure that out.
Yes.
How I can monetize that.
But I love it. And I just think it's a cooler, it's a cooler place. Honestly, like I love it on there. And I just think the comedy is really relatable and they kind of curate your own, like your For You page is kind of curated on the algorithm of what you like.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, I get it. I get it. It just makes me feel old and out of touch.
You love it, Ralph.
All I do is send Shannon TikToks of guys I think she might find attractive.
I'm dead. And Tommy loves it. Tommy's 58 and he's obsessed with it.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. It's enjoyable. It's great. It's the only one. But what I don't like about it is, you can't do that unless you have headphones on in a public place.
No.
Where like Instagram, you can scroll through anywhere and you know, Facebook or Twitter, but TikTok, you have to have headphones or be at home, which is one of the things I don't love about it. What I loved, what I heard about you is when you announced on Instagram, I guess that you were either dating Tommy or got engaged or whatever, you lost 100,000 followers in a day.
Really?
That's fucking crazy.
How many did you gain though, eventually?
You guys, because when I start dating Tommy, his like username on Instagram was like Mr. Tommyland, and he had 189,000 followers. And I was like, dude, you got to change your name. So I like got in contact with Instagram and got him Tommy Lee, which is his real name, obviously. And then, you know, now he has like, I think almost 2 million followers or 1.2 million. Cause it's like, that's so cool. Funny. Like, you know, people were like, I forgot about him until you start dating him. And then the same, like for me, but then people on the other hand are like, I can't believe Tommy Lee's dating a social media person. It's just kind of funny how it like, you know, I think it kind of helps both of us, but in a way, but it's just really interesting. I lost a lot of followers because there's a lot of guys that want to bang me. And then as soon as I was like,
I follow on Instagram is girls I'm trying to DM to go on dates with. That's all I do. That's what you do.
You find out they're taken or married, you're like, I'm out of here.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I get it. I would have been one of those 100,000 people if I was following you 100%. That's just who I am.
Although you know? I did have like one guy message me like when I started dating Tom, and he was like, oh, you're dating Tommy Lee. And I was like, yeah, he's my boyfriend. And he was like, well, a boyfriend's an obstacle, not a wall.
Ugh. Well, good for him.
Was it Vince Neil?
All right, before we go any further, brand new sponsor on the SDR show. We're talking about Rock Auto, rockauto.com, the online store with the best auto prices in the country. So if you're an auto mechanic or just some do-it-yourself guy, basically the opposite of me, I know nothing about this, but if you are someone who likes to work on your car, by all means, head over to rockauto.com. They've been in business for 20 years. They make it easy to find all the parts you need at the best possible prices. No more talking to counter guys. No more feeling silly or looking for the right thing and getting annoyed by someone. Just go to rockauto.com, rockauto.com. Let them know you heard about it on the SDR show. And you know what? There's not even a promo code. That's how confident they are that they have the best goddamn prices on the internet. If you're one of these guys that loves working on your car, then go to rockauto.com and get the best prices you can get and tell them the SDR show sent you. All right, let's get back into it. Can I ask this? And you don't have to respond with this, but what was Tommy's first DM to you on Raya?
God, I don't even know if I remember, but I just remember him saying something like, oh my God, I used to follow you on Vine. You were so funny. He's like, you look really different. Because I like looked really when I was on Vine, I was kind of ugly because I didn't really know how to like do my hair and makeup. And I was also in a really like bad place with my anxiety. And I was making these videos from my house and like not leaving my house because I stopped taking medication and just trying to manage everything on my own. I was a mess. And then like once I started making money, obviously, and I had money to like, you know, up my appearance, he was like, wow, you look so pretty. And he's like, I never knew you were so pretty. And I'm like, yeah, right. Well, I ended up enhancing myself. But he messaged me like, you were so funny. And now I, you know, and then we just started talking, and he was like dating Carmen Electra, this other chick, and another girl who's like a hairdresser or something all the time. And I remember it was really weird. And like, I would go hang out with him, and you know, then I wouldn't hear from him for a couple of days, and I'd hear from him again. And then, you know, and then it just got to be like when we started hanging out, like he liked hanging out with me the most, and we were kind of inseparable. And yeah. And then he just kind of called everyone else and was like, bye.
That's cool. That's not, I mean, I watched enough videos where you two do seem genuinely very happy together, which is nice to see.
He's my best friend.
I'm not going to say we were ever friends, but Tommy and I were somewhat, acquaintances, probably the best way to put it. Because I had a rock radio show that was on about 100 stations for a long time. Oh, there's us. There's us back in the day.
Oh, look at that.
That's when if I remember correctly, Shannon, that's when we compared penis sizes and I won. Is that when that was? I think that's when that was.
Oh, is that what happened?
So crazy.
Motley flew me out to LA when they reunited. Back in, I guess, 2004, whenever that was, 2005, when they got back with Vince and they did a tour. Because I had a radio show, and he came on not only for when Motley reunited, but he was on for the first Methods album, the first Tommy album. So at one point, we were, like, if I saw him, it's been 10 years or more, but if I saw him at a restaurant or something, he would actually, hey, what's up, man? Like,
that
level of friends. I don't know what you call that. A casual acquaintance at best.
Yeah, I love that. That's so cool.
Yeah, always super nice to me. Fucking super nice
dude. I was doing a podcast. He's in the other room, but I won't ambush him.
He wouldn't remember. I'm sure he's not going to remember me anyway. But
well, I can't remember this guy right on the show. He's like, no.
Yeah. So why are you fucking
asking me? Or it's really dark, and he's like, yeah, I do remember him.
I actually used to have very long hair, And at one point, I signed an autograph pretending I was Tommy Lee. They thought I was him. Ah. I took it. I said, absolutely, I'm him. And I signed it. There you go.
Oh, my God. That's
I don't care. So now you've been doing your podcast for, I guess, a little over a year. Is that about right? Called Worst First. And it's about horrible first date stories for the most part.
Mostly, yeah. And then a lot of it can be like worst drug trips, ghost stories, worst, you know, worst jobs. So whatever people have a worst, I mean, it's so funny. Like some people will come on and be like, I don't have a worst dating story. And I'm like, you are full of shit. Unless you've never gone on a date, because everyone has a worst dating story.
Yeah.
Do you find that men more often will say they've never had a bad date?
No, it was girls.
Really? I have the opposite.
Like, yeah, I've never had a bad date. And then the guys are like, yeah, man, this girl sucked at kissing, or this girl, like, and it's like the lamest thing ever. You're like, that's your worst. Like, sometimes I don't even air what they say their worst is, because it's just like so stupid. They're like, yeah, she was like really bad at giving head, or she, like, you know, she
wasn't really into the threesome as much as I would have liked her to be.
Yeah, that's not a bad date. Yeah, she was blowing me. It was a nightmare.
Yeah, or like a girl like took her top. Like, I didn't air this one. I'm not going to say who it was, but he's like, it was a worst date because I thought she had these huge knockers, and we got her naked, and she took them off, and the whole boobs came off with the bra. And I'm like,
oh, what a cunt. Fuck that, right?
I like the word right? we is in like, there, too.
I try to, like, protect my guests so I don't, like, ruin their life. So yeah. I'm like, okay, I won't air that. So I try to get, like, other stories. There's so many drug ones where people are like, oh, my God, the worst time I did edibles. It's always edibles. So it's like, edibles fucked me up, like, so bad. So
by the way, I didn't tell you this. Usually the pre-interview, but we were trying to get your mic working, so I didn't tell you this. But a feature on this show that we've been doing for the 6.5 years the show's been on the air is we end the show, still in about 10, 15 minutes, with your first experience with sex, drugs, and rock and roll. So you got about 10 minutes to think about that, and that's the story that we – so for me, for the last 6, 7 years, everybody that's ever been on our show will answer their first time doing those three things. And it started from when – we first started this podcast, and Big Jay Oakerson's a comic, and we normally do the show together. We just told each other those stories for the first episode, and then we just started asking guests that for the next 6, 7 years, which is pretty crazy. And also, Shannon, she said on an interview this would speak to you. She has horrible sleeping problems. Magnesium glycinate? Is that, am I saying
magnesium
it right?
Magnesium glycinate. It's, and I would do a liquid gel form. If people take it before bed, and obviously check with your doctor, because I think it's not good. Magnesium is not good for people with kidney issues. But other than that, it's, 90% safe, 100% safe. It's just, you know, if you have a kidney problem, check with somebody. But yeah, magnesium glycinate, I'm dead with the cattail.
It's really great. I wish it was a little lower. I wish we were really staring at his asshole.
It's really the cat asshole.
Like, anyway, my butthole.
Really what it is. That's how cats let you know they like you, though.
Yeah, no, he's like, yeah, I'll show you magnesium. Yikes.
It's like, here you go.
So magnesium glycinate, actually a lot of people that are deficient in magnesium have anxiety, depression, sleep issues. A lot of people that implement magnesium into their diet to take before bed, magnesium glycinate liquid gels, have noticed they sleep better. You have less anxiety. I'm also like a big CBD person. I haven't had a panic attack in almost like a half a year because of finding CBD that's really strong, that really works for me. And I don't do great with weed because it's psychoactive and I get a little bit weird on it.
Did you take benzos at one time for it?
I took Valium and Xanax and Klonopin. And, you know, as you know, with benzos, they're highly addictive and you keep needing more and more and more eventually.
And then brain damage that's very permanent.
You get brain, like holes in your brain. And then not only that is that I noticed with the benzos is that like over time, if you wouldn't take them, your anxiety got like amplified 1,000 times worse than
even. Oh, the withdrawal is terrible. Yeah, yeah. It makes
so I was like, fuck this. I need to find something else. And so I started looking into an alternative route. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, CBD, whatever. Like some people swear by it. Some people don't believe in it. But for me, it works. You know, everybody is different. So I was approached by this company, TerraVita CBD. And they were like, hey, try it. And if you hate it, don't ever talk to us again. You don't have to. And I was like, okay, I'll try it. So I tried it. And
that's my hit online with girls with my Johnson. Hey, try it. You hate it.
Try it.
We never have to talk to each other again.
I use it with benzos.
Do you really? I can't.
No.
I mean, you can.
No, I'm in recovery. I actually just took a note down of this magnesium that you're recommending because I've never taken it and I'm curious now.
So like if you're an anxiety person, there's so many natural things. So I met with a naturopath and got like a bunch of natural stuff. So I take the Terravita CBD. I take Crataegus oxycantha, which is it's called a gemo, but it's like a liquid. It's an ancient Chinese herb and it's in liquid form and it actually lowers your heart rate just the same way a beta blocker would, but it's not as dangerous or addictive or habit forming. So there's so many natural, amazing things that we have, but obviously big pharma is like, take drugs. So anyway, the Terravita CBD was pretty life-changing for me and that's the one that I use the most. And now I just like, if I have to take a Valium, I'll take it maybe like once every 3 months if I'm randomly hit by an insane panic attack out of nowhere. But other than that, I don't have to.
I also know you're a big advocate of, and I do a lot of this for my health and wellness show, but a big advocate of celery juice. But I feel like there's this guy, Medical Medium, and I think he's full of shit, and he's the guy that got everybody into celery juice on its own. I don't think it matters if you – I think everybody should have a green juice every day for sure. But I don't think it matters if you mix celery and kale. I don't think it makes a fucking difference. It's, you know, I just think that guy, Medical Medium, if you ever looked him up on Instagram, he's the guy that everybody jumped on the celery juice wagon for and on its own. I don't think I do celery. I make my own celery, ginger, lemon, apple every day. And that's what I have every day to start
delicious.
My day.
And
now,
honestly,
now that I'm trying not to be fat anymore. So that's what I have every day.
You should take black seed oil if you're trying not to be fat.
Black seed?
Black seed oil. I take black seed oil every day. Black seed oil is also extremely healing. It's even in you're not religious, but it's even been written about in the Bible about how.
Oh, well, then it definitely works if it's in the Bible.
Right. I mean, who knows, whatever, but it's pretty life changing. It's been around since ancient times. If you look up black seed oil and weight loss, it can really help balance the glucose in your bloodstream so you don't hang on to as much sugar and can be really good for you in terms
I'll take a look at that because anything to make me less of a fatty boom bladdy is all I really care about.
I started doing cabbage juice for ulcers and to make you not so bloated, and it actually does work.
Yeah,
it tastes terrible, but it really does.
I love cabbage
help.
Actually, so I would maybe, but I also, there was a big move for pickle juice.
I bet you do.
There was a big move for pickle juice for a while too, but that ended up being mostly nonsense when they
said that was,
I do think the celery juice thing, if you're an anxiety girl or guy, if you do the celery juice every morning for a month straight, you're going to notice a big difference.
Well, I also think what it does, and I sound like I'm on my other podcast, but you're eliminating mistakes when you put in things in replacement. Like in the morning, maybe you normally have bacon, egg, and cheese. If you replace that with the celery juice, no matter what, you're going to start feeling better because you're getting rid of that shit. I don't know if it's because you're having the celery juice or because you're not having a fucking bacon, egg, and cheese anymore.
I normally didn't eat anything. Like in the mornings, I just wasn't hungry. And so I started forcing myself to have the celery juice. And I would put apple in it sometimes, just like you, or lemon or whatever, to make it taste better because I don't love celery. The one thing you do have to be careful, though, with celery juice, and this is why I stopped following the Medical Medium, is because he kind of didn't mention it, is that it can get really dangerously high vitamin K levels. So you have to be really careful if your vitamin K gets too high. So that's why I say, do it for a month, stop for a month, do it for a month, stop for a month,
All right. I mean, anything that is on the path to making people feel better, one of the things that you talked about that I'm become an advocate of reluctantly is meditation. Where I think the best way to describe it is, I don't think you feel the benefits of it, but I think you'll notice it when you stop. And that's a very interesting, one of the guys on our show said that, and that I think is something I totally agree with. I do 5 minutes a day, first thing in the morning. It's just better than nothing, and that's what I'd be an advocate of. But to go back to your show, some of the great guests I saw you had, which obviously Tommy Lee was the first, makes sense, he's been on more than once. I think your most listened to episode was with Machine Gun Kelly. Very cool that you had that, especially that he played Tommy in the movie. Mm-hmm. Bill Burr, Adam Carolla, great lineup so far. It's only been a year. Are you thrilled that this is now a new platform for you, a new venture for you? Are you really enjoying it?
I love it because I love talking. I don't shut the fuck up. My husband's like,
oh my God.
Yeah. My husband's like, he's like, you talk so much. So I was like, what's better for someone that talks too much? A podcast, and and I've actually learned a lot because, when you have a podcast, you have to let your guests talk. So I let my guests actually talk for the majority of the podcast, which is really fun.
I watched the newest one, which is you answering viewer emails, people that would just have their own
yeah
examples of their worst and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's really fun. I mean, I love it. And, you know, it's great. I can do it from home, and it's been pretty chill. Anything to not leave the house. I'm kind of like your dad. I kind of hate.
I saw that you said that the pandemic didn't really affect you that much. You don't like leaving the house anyway, so it didn't really change. For Tommy, it probably was much harder to do because the dude's used to traveling the world.
He is used to traveling the world, and he is getting stir crazy in a way. Like, he misses touring so much and cannot wait to go back on tour. But I think he also, like, kind of just loves being at home, too. Like, when we go out anywhere, he's, like, he's just so over, like, the Hollywood scene that, like, if we go out to do anything, he's, like, can we just go home now? You know, he's kind of over that.
So. I'm sure.
Wasn't 2020 going to be a big tour year, too?
Yeah, they moved it. Now, yeah, I think they just moved it again, right? They just moved it to 22.
Did they? Okay.
Yeah, same thing with Rammstein. I just found out today that my tickets are now moved to September 2022. And they're like, you have 2 days to decide if they're still good. I'm like, how the fuck do I know what I'm doing September of 2022? So I just got my money back. What are you going to do?
I didn't even know Rammstein was still making music. Damn.
Yeah, you got to get your... First of all, you didn't know who Jackson Browne was either. Get with it. Your husband's a rock star. Learn some fucking rock and roll.
It's a big difference between Jackson Browne and Motley
I don't care.
Crue.
She's wearing a David Bowie shirt. Learn rock and roll.
Well, I know a lot, but I don't know that much. I know more metal shit than I do like that.
Were you a Motley Crue fan before meeting him?
I mean, I was. I'm not I wasn't a huge. I was more my brother played guitar growing up, and so we would go to, my dad took us to Ozfest, and so I went for Limp Bizkit, you know, Ozzy, and you know, we saw a big Rage Against the Machine fan.
Oh, you went 2000.
Perfect
then.
Circle, that kind of stuff. We that was more what we listened to, but yeah, 80s hair metal stuff was more.
Well, you're too young.
We listened to it, but it wasn't huge.
Did anyone in your family, parents or cousins, can you please get me an autograph with Tommy? Has that happened with family members?
Everybody. It's so annoying. I mean, I love them to death, but it's it's almost it's my mom, when I first started dating him, she's like, I should be dating him, not you. And I'm, oh my God, my mom's 66. So I'm chill. And it was so weird. But yeah, when they come over, they're like, can you sign this? Can you sign? I get it. It's fine. But I think it's also kind of weird because it's I'm you guys don't think I'm going to be married to him for that long. So you just got to
get it in now. Here, please sign all these now today.
Sell these eventually.
Within the next 3 days, please, if you don't mind.
Exactly. I was don't you think you have a chance down the line to get this taken care of? No? Okay. All right.
No, we know his history. Come on now. Get it in here.
Yeah, they read Tommyland, and they're like, we don't need to have Christmas. Yeah.
I read Tommyland. I'm dead. That's hilarious.
Oh, it's such a good book.
Fucking heart attack. I was like, oh, my God, your dick talks during
it's
the book?
It's the point of view of his dick.
Yeah, I remember that very clearly.
It's a great book. It's hilarious.
It is a great book.
It really is.
As much as it made me sad, a lot of it, I was like, this is amazing. Yeah.
Maybe it was his dick.
Yeah, I would imagine
saying,
it was
his dick was saying Tom, and that's why the garbage can was opening. There's your mystery solved.
Oh, yeah. My God.
His dick was just throwing stuff away from two rooms over.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Also, just to wrap it up, you did make a brief appearance in The Dirt, which I thought was a funny
little that's really cool,
Easter egg. That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And currently you're on Paradise City, which I have not watched yet, but it's named after a Guns N' Roses song. You don't know rock and roll, so I'm trying to help
you out. Yes, I do, and I know that. Of course I know that. And also, it's actually so crazy. Tom Zutaut, who discovered Motley, was one of the producers of Paradise City, which was just so 360 full circle weird situation. I ended up getting cast in it. And then Tom was like, wait a minute, you're married to Tommy and I've discovered, you know, Motley. And I was like, whoa, this is so weird. You know, he was with Elektra Records back then.
That's great. That's so cool.
So crazy how the world works. But yeah, I play an agent's wife named Janice, and it's a really good show. It's on Amazon Prime.
Right.
And I love it. And it's really fun. It's a great,
and it's a spinoff from another show, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, American Satan. So there was a movie, American Satan, that is it's basically about a band, The Relentless, that's kind of sells their soul to be famous, which is, mm-hmm. you know, like the whole idyllic thing of like what people in Hollywood do, that we all sell our souls to the devil and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, the crossroads idea. But you know what's funny is there's an 80s rock band called Twisted Sister, and I'm sure you've heard of them. But this never came out, but they were going to do this musical, which I thought they put out a Christmas record years ago, and it sold phenomenally well. That part is true, right? It was their best-selling album in 30 years. So they were going to put out a Broadway musical. It was such a funny idea that they signed a deal with Satan to become big again. It was the concept of the musical, except they didn't read the contract, and it ended up saying Santa. And that's why it was a Christmas record, which I thought was brilliant, but it never came out. I thought they should have put it out. Such a good idea.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
Such a brilliant idea. For those really funny guys, it would have been great. All right, so let's do this, Shannon. We're almost out of time. Okay. So let's do the first, and then we'll wrap this bitch up.
The first time ever I saw concert Detroit.
So the name of the show, Brittany, is Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll. We ask every guest that's been on the show their first experience with all three. We start with rock and roll, and what we mean by that is the first concert you went to on your own volition that you weren't dragged to that we're going to know, not some local band that no one gives a shit about.
Okay, so this is so weird. When I was in high school and I was 16, I was obsessed with Brandon Boyd, who I'm friends with now, which is another weird story, is that I was obsessed with Incubus, huge Incubus fan. I loved like 311, whatever. I was like NERD fan, like that kind of music as I was in my teens. And I went to see Incubus play in Philadelphia, and I was with my girlfriend, and I was like, I don't know. We were too young. We were there by ourselves. She was 16, I was 16. And we managed to score backstage passes. You know how like the roadies kind of like stand on the side and they look for cute girls?
They look for hot chicks, yeah.
They look for cute girls and they give you backstage passes. But before you go backstage, everyone gets their ID check. You have to be over 18. And we were 16. Well, my friend gets blackout drunk. She fucking starts pissing her pants. And then the security guard takes both of us out, kicks us out. I was like, fuck. I wanted to meet Brandon Boyd so bad. I had the backstage pass. I was like, fuck, this is the worst. I'm never going to meet him. So the next day, I fucking went by myself back to the concert venue. I snuck in. I don't know how the fuck I did it. Somehow, like, through the back, I changed the little thing on my pass and I stuck it to my jeans. So I just looked like I was supposed to be there. And here's one of the things my husband taught me. If you look like you know what you're doing.
Oh, yeah.
No one asks anything. 100%. And I kind of knew that then. I was like, don't make eye contact. Just stick the thing to your jeans. It says Incubus. You look like you're supposed to be there. So after the show ends, I go backstage. The band that opened for them, I forget their name, was like, okay, come hang out. And the bouncer was standing at the door with checking IDs. And I was like, fuck, you know, before you could go into the hangout. And I was like, guys, I'm not 18. And they were like, okay, just hide over here. We'll distract him.
Whoa.
So they, the band that opened up for them, hid me and like distracted the bouncer and just let me go in with them. And so I ended up hanging out with fucking Brandon Boyd and all of Incubus when he was really young. And he was so nice to me and so cool. And it was just really fun. And then years later, I like randomly ran into him at the Grove when he was like dating Carolyn Murphy. And I was like, you know, hey, like whatever. And then even later on than that, I ended up like, I guess he saw my vines and started following me. And like, I told him this whole story and like showed him the pictures of us from like when I was younger. And it's just so funny because it's like how life evolved.
And he'll probably have the same reaction that Tommy's going to have when you show him my picture. I don't know who the fuck that is.
But he's like the coolest, nicest person and like so cool and friendly and like wasn't creepy. He was just so mellow.
That's great. That's nice. It's always nice when they're not assholes. You know,
that was like my first real like, you know, rock and roll, I guess, experience.
That's a good one. That's a good story. And now the first drug you ever did, ideally after pot, unless pot wasn't the first drug you ever did.
Okay. After pot, the first drug I did was coke. And I did it when I was in college. And my roommate was like addicted and would just do it, rip it all day, every day. It was just like so gnarly. And she was like, you got to do it, dude. You got to try some of this. And I was like, I already have anxiety and I would fucking tweak out sometimes even from weed, but I did coke with her. And I remember like we did coke and then we went to a party, and we were at this party. And I just remember being like, I think I did way too much for like my size. I was like so little. And like, I just remember talking to everyone's ear off. Like I just wouldn't shut the fuck up.
And then I remember, like, I was like at the party like forever, and then it was like 4 in the morning. I hadn't eaten all day, like nothing. I was just blah, 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 like the fucking Tasmanian devil, like, hey, who wants to talk to me? Anybody want to talk to me? You want to talk to me? Hey, what's up? I'll talk to you. And people just like, I noticed, were slowly like moving away from me. It was like really scary. And so then my girlfriend's like, we haven't eaten all day, we should go eat, even though neither of us were hungry because we did so much coke. And we go to IHOP, and I remember we were like, oh, let's get this, let's get this, let's get this, let's get this. And we ordered all this shit. It covered all the table with food, and we didn't take one fucking bite. And the waitress was like, are you guys okay? And we're like, yeah, we're good. And we were like making the syrups talk to each other. We were just fucking freaked out. Oh my God. It was so gnarly. So I never really like did coke much after that. I wasn't like a huge fan because I was just like, I just felt too like, I'm already like that. So
fair enough. It's also a good story. I'll give you that one. And now the first time you had sex.
Oh my God. So I lost, this is kind of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I lost my virginity to
Brandon Boyd backstage at
Incubus. No.
Incubus.
No, no, no.
All of Incubus.
No, I can't. I actually lost my virginity when I was 18. I was kind of a like late bloomer. And it was to this guy who I met, who was a backup guitar player. And I don't know what band. He was just like, you know, like a what's it called? Like a
session player,
like a session guy. Right. So he was like, he would get called in to play whatever for all these huge bands, and he played guitar really well. And he was successful. And I met him, and he just kind of like swept me off my feet. And I remember being so in love with this guy and being like, wow, he's so amazing. And he was so talented. And I remember we went back to his place, and this was like after us dating like a month or two. And he finally was like, we're finally going to hook up. And I just remember he pulled out heroin and he started shooting up in front of me. And wow. I was like,
how old were you? 18?
I was 18. And I was like, oh my God, fuck. Like, I'm going to get, and I remember being so freaked out. And then, but then I like wanted to seem cool. So I was just like, yeah, no worries. Totally. Like, do the heroin. That's fucking rad. Yeah,
it's,
man.
Awesome.
Like, it's fucking
good
chill,
veins.
Bro.
Yeah.
I just wanted to seem like I was down. So I was just like, okay, cool. And then he's like, he started like trying to like fuck me. Mm-hmm. And he put a condom on. And I remember like literally it was like in me for like 1 second. And I just got so freaked out. I was like, I gotta go. I gotta go home. Like, I gotta get out of here. I just started freaking out because I just, in my head, I was like, I'm going to get AIDS. Like, I was like, he has fucking AIDS. I'm going to get AIDS. And then that night, I was so anxious. Like, I'm such a neurotic bitch. Like, as much as I tried to
get, you had every right to feel that way. That's not neurosis.
I was so neurotic. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to get AIDS. And then that night, he like was like, oh my God, I scared the shit out of him. I was like, take me home right now, whatever. And I just never talked to him again. And he dropped me off at my house, and I went to the hospital and demanded an AIDS test.
Oh my God.
Even though he had a condom on and he was in me for like one half of a second.
And
I was like,
long story short, you've been living with AIDS for 20 years.
Yeah, so I have AIDS. No, I'm just kidding. I don't have AIDS.
Yes, but, yeah. Long story short.
So long story short, no. But I know. It was just like the nurse was like, did you have sex without a condom? I'm like, no. She's like, did he bleed on you? I'm like, no. She's like, did you use his needles? I'm like, no. She's like, well, you probably don't. I'm like, give me the fucking test. Okay, Janine?
She's like, anxiety. It wouldn't have even formed in you yet, but all
yeah,
right.
I have anxiety. Give me the AIDS test. Yeah.
AIDS,
yeah.
AIDS are immediate, so get it to me right now.
Give me that rapid AIDS test. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap up the show right now. Thank you very much on the AIDS test. We're going to do some plugs. I know, obviously, your podcast, Worst First, which, by the way, one of my great stories, I think I've told on this show, on a first date, a girl was trying to convince me all night she's a rock chick, right? And I don't care if you're an intern. Yes, for a long time, I made my money in rock. And at that time, I had a rock radio show. We're going out. We're getting drunk. We're hanging out. And we're sitting at a bar. And we're talking. And she looks behind me at a picture. And in a crowded bar, very loudly screams out, who the fuck is that N-word? Right? And I turn around, and it was a picture, the Rolling Stone cover of Jimi Hendrix, right? Mm-hmm. So I said, A, I can't believe you would scream that out of the club. It's like, that's fucking crazy. And B, how the fuck do you not know who Jimi Hendrix is? Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, that's insane.
And I just paid the check and I left, and that was the end. And she tried to she tried to make sense of it. I'm from Texas. That's how we talk. I'm like, there was a little stink on that, and you were a little too happy and screamed it out in the middle of a bar. It was really weird.
Her Confederate flag tank top didn't give it away.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
All right, so the Worst First podcast comes out once a week, right? Obviously, you're on TikTok now because there is no more Vine, and Instagram, all at Brittany Fur. Is it Furlan or Furlan?
Furlan, whatever.
Furlan. Oh, you put
it's Italian, weirdly, but it doesn't sound like it.
Does not sound Italian. Now, Dave Landau, your plugs, please. Did I leave anything out, Brittany? I'm sorry.
No, and Paradise City.
And Paradise City.
On Prime. Yeah.
Your turn, David.
DaveLando.com. I have a bunch of tour dates coming up, including in Texas. Hopefully that girl won't be there. Houston and Addison, two of the places I'll be at.
But I'm sure you're going to hear that word often, my friend.
That's how you know they like you. They're yelling it at the stage. DaveLando.com. Go there for everything that I have tour date-wise.
Okay, great. Shanoonies?
You can follow me on Instagram and TikTok at ShannonLee6982 and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts.
So we know, Brittany, that you believe in ghosts. We know that you have a long dating story. Have you been in many fights in your life?
Not really. Mm-hmm. I'm not like a big fighter. Like if I had to beat the shit out of somebody, I probably would, but I'm not like a big fighter. I'm more like a peacekeeper these days.
You should go on Chan and Joe and talk about ghosts and then talk about what a jackass I am for not believing in them.
I'd love to have you on. I just had a priest on recently that used to work with Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Oh, wow.
And
oh, wow.
he would go with them, you know, to like document their journeys before he was a priest. And he's like, when I get like very scared, my eyes tear, and my eyes like teared several times just with the stories that he told on the show.
That was upstate New York, wasn't it?
Which I think that's where, I think it was there because they talked about like Connecticut a lot. So yeah, somewhere in that area.
Yeah, like Connecticut in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So he kind of like confirmed that they were the real deal, huh?
Yeah, because I've read a lot that like some of the families that they've worked with had complaints that they kind of made the situation worse because maybe they didn't know what they were doing. But he kind of explained that he really feels like their intentions were good. But it's some crazy shit. And then also like from his eye as a priest, you know, kind of like rationalize it. But he didn't talk that like you should believe this, you shouldn't believe that. He's like from the eye of if you're religious, from the eye of if you're not. Like, he was just a really cool guest.
That's pretty wild.
That's awesome.
That's pretty cool. Wow, and again, you said the name of the show, didn't you? Did you?
Me?
Yeah.
The Thing Is Ding.
TTID. I follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton. My other podcast on health and wellness is called The Good Sugar Podcast that I do with the founder of Juice Press. And Brittany, honestly, thank you so much for coming on the show.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me, guys. You're all
very
cool.
Nice to meet you.
We end the show every week with a song. Do you want to pick a Tommy song or a Motley song, or do you want to play a song that means something to you?
Oh my God, that's so crazy. I really like what song do I? What song am I like loving right now? It's I just forgot the name of it. It's like a newer song, but I really, really like Space Hog. You can play anything by them.
Love Space Hog. In the meantime, yeah. You know it's great. Their second record, which was called there was a song called. They did a cover of In the Meantime, which is a great. Not In the Meantime. Oh, Mungo
first
City.
Album.
Yeah, the Mungo City is the second record. Such a good record. The guitarist was a bartender at a bar I used to be a DJ at.
That's crazy. Yeah, they're so rad. I just was like listening to them the other day. And then also one of my favorite Tommy songs is actually called Time Bomb. I don't know if you guys know that.
Of course. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was on it was not on the bonus record. That was on one of his solo records, right?
Yeah, it was on one of his solo records. That's a good one. You could play that.
We'll do Time Bomb by Tommy Lee because it seems like fucked up to play Space Hog. You know?
Like, play Space Hog. But yeah, it's like it's so funny. Like everyone, I love music so much. And every time someone's like, "What's your favorite song?" I'm like, like there's so many songs that I love. But yeah, just play Time Bomb by Tommy.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm not a superlative person myself, so I get it. All right, we'll see you next week on the SDR show.
I'm not to face the wreckage of my younger ways. Every little thing you do is measured by the damage that it does to you. You can screw me around. You can swallow.
All right, if you made it all the way to the end of the SDR show, first of all, congratulations and kudos. But, you know, we've been featuring different shows that are on Gas Digital Network. Maybe you only listen to one or two, but there's 22 shows on the network, so we want to show you some of the ones that we love. This week, we're highlighting Bye Guys with Zach Amico and Ian Fidance. You can find their full catalog at gasdigitalnetwork.com or their latest 15 episodes anywhere you listen to a podcast. Love these guys. Love the show. Here's a clip of Bye Guys on the Gas Digital Network.
No, wait. We can talk to her live right now?
Yes, live right now. But you gotta
You're on Bye Guys Scooby-Doo. On the Gas Digital Network.
Making a cow real quick.
Oh, my God. She is gorgeous. Is this all she does?
You can tell her what to do.
What are people saying to her?
I love that we got distracted from Guess the Butthole to do something gayer.
This is straight as fuck. No, wait. Hold on. What are they saying to her? I feel things with you like no other.
You drive
I feel
me very crazy.
Passionate and a great deal of lust.
Oh, the Indians are in full effect.
Oh, she's got a lot.
Somebody agreed with that comment. Me too, Rebel.
Yo, that's Preach. Not. That's not little paradise. That's a big, beautiful, juicy paradise.
Now, is that her heart?
Take me down to the paradise city where you jerk your dick like it's a big old clitty. Oh, please, let me go down.
Now, that's the thing with trans
girls. Welcome to the jungle!
No, I think that's a maintenance jerk. Like, they're keeping it.
They're keeping it.
Like, semi.
One-third hard.
Like, no, how can you control that? I think that's just like...
That's just maintenance.
It's like edging.
Yeah,
I am looking at your cock, my goodness. I want that cock. I want to play with that cock. Oh, that's not that fun.
Clip all that.
Like, somebody just tipped 150. She's raking in right now.
Oh, my God.
How much is a token?
Can we get her to shout out Bye Guys? Does she talk?
I never put a dollar.
Can we get her to be like, hey, you're watching Bye Guys on the Gas Digital Network.
You got to make an account.
Like, so people can watch Jared do that. Like, he would do that.
You have an account, Jared?
Yeah.
You dirty little dog.
Have you ever broadcasted?
Jared's?
Yeah.
That's how he gets the token. So he feels like he never spends money.
I would never spend money.
Oh, so it's like, you're playing with house
people
money.
Pay you money.
Correct.
How much money do you make?
So that's the thing. I never transferred the money out. I actually lost it.
He would put it right back in.
Yeah, so you're playing house money.
I would play house
like
money.
Wow, you're like the Chinese dollar. Circulates 13 times before at least trying to take it. No, wait a minute.
It's got diseases on it.
I would get girls to do things for me, and that's what I would get off to.
If you didn't do that, how much money would you have made?
Oh, I probably have had at one point I tried cashing out 2,000 tokens, and I did the authenticator, and then like I just felt weird putting my card in, and I just never, in my account, and I never did it. So I lost those 2,000 tokens.
You felt
I was
weird.
Like, shit, I gotta go
I've
broadcast
I've done five
tomorrow.
Podcasts with you, and you finally say something interesting. What the fuck?
Jesus
this show
Christ.
Rules.
Holy fuck. Bye Guys forever.
Oh, hell she yeah. brought out the
oh!
fucking...
Oh! Now, wait, do they ever come, or is it just like...
What are we up to? So my thing would be like, give me this much amount, and I'll come.
And you come on that's... camera.
Yeah.
He's a little performance artist.
Oh, my God. Oh, now, do you spend the token?
Karen, are you raising a whole generation of these?
We believe in ourselves.
Honestly, it might be some child pornography on there.
What?
No, there might be.
Jared.
No, I did this from like, I don't
everywhere,
know,
right? You can't.
18.
Alex, put it back up. What's the matter with you? We have to read more comments.
Now, if you go to like the homepage, there's like couple rooms, just female, just.
This is hot.
This is
what's
pretty
that?
Awesome.
Is that no, like you, a
can we go to like go to like the female?
Somebody said, "What's up, Ian?"
Yeah.
Somebody said, "My God, what's up, Ian?"
That's fucking great, dude. Oh my God,
that is fucking. What's up, fellas? Bye, guys, for the win.
Let's go. That's brilliant.
We love you. That fucking rules.
Oh, we're hijacking this abomination.
Oh my God.